Well, it's been months and months and months and months and months, or at least it seems that way. No, it hasn't. Can you believe the Premier League season begins this weekend? Welcome to the new, the improved, actually, the same as last year, Soccer Central podcast. I'm James Sharman, joined by Brendan Dunlop. Hello, B.
Still rolling the R's beautifully.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, Thomas Dobby will be joining us later in probably a couple of weeks' time. However, he can't today. He's got that whole show, Tim and Sid.
Show. Never heard of it.
No. Some show that airing on Sportsnet sometime.
Dodd and Steve? Who is it?
Been no promotion for it. Tom and Steve. But thankfully, we've got a far more intelligent and enlightened human being to step in. John Molinaro, Sportsnet.ca, the senior soccer writer. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You pumped?
I guess.
Do you ever get pumped?
I'm a pretty mellow guy.
Do you get pumped about seeing that Paul Pogba is not only back with Juve, but wearing number 10
this season? I'm very pumped about that, as a matter of fact. I was kind of resigned to the fact that they were going to lose him to Barcelona, but I'm very excited that he's going to stay another year.
Barca is too busy signing players that can't play for them until January.
Yeah.
Very good model, eh?
It's a great model, yeah. Yeah. All right, well, let's get to the Premier League, shall we? Because, as mentioned, it kicks off this weekend. It's been an interesting off-season. Let's be honest. Reflections on last year. I thought it was, a crap season. I really do, overall. Yeah. You know, it didn't have the drama of previous years. Didn't have as many standout world-class performances. I was left wanting more.
Maybe that's because your team almost won the title the year before?
Maybe.
Could it be that?
Could be.
Such a negative Nigel. but I had this conversation with you as the season winded down, and there was that lack of a real title challenge, and even the bottom three, that fight didn't go down to the end as it had in previous years and been as thrilling as it could have been. So yeah, maybe from that excitement level, but maybe we've just been spoiled from the years previous.
There was some good stuff, though. I mean, when you think about how Southampton really kind of defied the odds, right, and finished, what was it, eighth? I mean, who saw that coming?
Yeah, so we're saying it was a great year because the team finished eighth.
No. Of course, no, I'm with you, James. I was quite disappointed with the season. I mean, the title race wasn't...
Seventh, by the way, sorry.
Seventh, okay, there you go. So top eight. The title race wasn't as compelling as it normally was, and the race at the bottom, you know, oftentimes better than the race at the top, kind of wasn't there. But there were some great surprises. Like I said, Southampton, I don't think anyone saw that coming. And Leicester, I mean, the end of March, they were dead and buried.
Yeah.
And then they ended up winning 7 of 9 to stave off relegation and finish 13th.
Yeah.
That was fabulous. Signed a 9-year extension in the offseason.
Yeah, and then they brought in Claudio Ranieri. So, I agree with your larger point, but there were still some things to enjoy about the season, I think.
However, as mentioned, it's been a very interesting off-season, and as we've been told to promote by our bosses, this year promises much, much more, and you have to watch every single week. But it does. I mean, I'm looking at the standings from last year. I'm looking at the teams involved this year, the players that have left, the players that have come in. And I honestly, I mean, I've obviously made my predictions. We've had to, as JMO's ensured online, give our predictions. But it is not easy. Anything can happen, and I don't know... As far as the title is concerned, if there's been a more open race prior to the first game of the season than this year, I think it's going to be outstanding.
I think you're giving too much credit to teams that have made some movements and we'd like to think are back in the title race, i.e. Manchester United. But realistically, do you really think that it's a four-horse race to start the season? Because I think last year we might have said it was a three-horse race, that Arsenal should have been in the mix and we expected City and Chelsea to go down to the wire. Do you really think it's
always a
now?
Four-horse race. Just this year, Arsenal has been the one that's really stepped up. Mm-hmm. And I think are making a real push to being a contender this year. I think, you know, they haven't done tons in the off-season. Didn't need to. This team was the best team in England after December last season. They bring in Peter Cech. The one thing we criticize Arsenal for is what? Character. Leadership. Mm-hmm. Now, he's a goalkeeper, I know, but a great goalkeeper can instill that in a team. We've seen that over the years. He is that kind of goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. I think it adds a huge amount of swagger to that team. And it's a big if, and I know, JMO, you follow this team closely, it's a big if they can put together a 38-game season, unlike most years where they put in a 25, a 30-game season. This is going to be the year that finally Arsene Wenger and his promises come true, they will be champions.
I'm very bullish on Arsenal this year because I think the Czech signing was really huge. I mean, a goalkeeper can steal you 12 or 15 points potentially.
De Gea did last year for United.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think he's exactly what they needed. And you're right. I mean, they're coming off that second half of the season where they're the best team in England that won the FA Cup. And, you know, people are going to laugh. They finally, you know, Wenger finally beat Mourinho in the Community Shield. I think that's a bit of a psychological advantage for Arsene because he can say, I finally achieved that. Now I can really, you know, these guys are really starting to believe that we can hang with the big guys. So mm-hmm. I think Arsenal is going to be challenging for the title.
It's amazing that number, you know, and you think about it. And I'm sure there are a few teams where maybe the number's a bit lower, but you can look at Man City and a few of their performances, those low-scoring wins where Joe Hart earned them matches, and say maybe it was a few more points. And the fact that is actually the case, and Arsene Wenger's been, you know, top four contending, but never enough to win the title in the last 10 years, how they never prioritized that more before.
Yeah.
How they never look at that factor and recognize, look, goalkeeping's got to take a bigger issue here.
Well, they brought in Lehmann for a while there, right?
Well,
right, and that's a world band. Just going back, you know, after Seaman, right? Lehmann came in, right? Got the job done. And then we laughing at
nothing.
You are laughing about pre. Something.
You said pre, and then you stopped yourself to go post semen.
Post. I get it. Very nice. Hey, the first inappropriate comment of the New Year's podcast here. You know. But you know, Lehmann came in, and then you know, Szczesny he relied on, and mm-hmm. Wenger is, as we discussed, maybe the most stubborn manager in the world, and wouldn't quit on this guy until he found him smoking in the showers last year. And he goes, enough's enough, right? And then, obviously, Fabianski hadn't worked out. Ospina came in. I like Ospina, but he's not a guy that's commanding his area. Mm-hmm. He's not a Premier League-type goalkeeper. Although
I think he's a Premier League goalie. He's a Premier League keeper.
Sure, but he's not a Premier League-type goalie in that. He's a great shot stopper, right? But he's not a guy that's going to boss that area.
Right.
Czech is. And I think that, you know, finally you're right. Finally, Wenger's realized, you know, where, you know, in the past, his stubbornness has been a problem. That being said, they're not the finished product by any stretch. They still need, in my opinion, a world-class centre forward. Mm-hmm. There are still rumours about Karim Benzema being that man. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, that's the guy you want. I think it'd fit beautifully, wouldn't he, at Arsenal?
Mm. The guy from Lyon, too, whose name I can't pronounce.
Lacazette?
I think he would be a great addition.
Be a typical Wenger hire, wouldn't he?
Absolutely would. So, but you're right. I think they are sort of missing that star striker who can really, you know, give them as a legitimate scoring threat up front. But I don't know. We'll see.
Are we too harsh on Giroud? Do we really think that he can't be that guy?
I think he's a really good striker. I like him, but he's not one of those true world-class strikers that I think a championship team needs.
Yeah.
He's not Diego Costa.
Right.
Right. He's not Karim Benzema. He's not Ricky Lambert.
West Brom's Ricky Lambert?
Isn't that a perfect fit, by the way?
Oh, absolutely. Perfect. Absolutely. Well, how many goals is it? 15? 16?
Yeah, well, when Barami goes to Spurs, he'll get all the minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's where Arsenal stand right now. Not quite finished. Jack Wilshere out for a few more weeks with a hairline fracture to his tibia.
Oh, boy.
You're shaking your head. Have you given up?
No, it's, I'm getting there. I mean, it's you know, you feel sorry for the guy because he is a wonderfully talented player, but just these rash of injury problems, it's hard to see, you know, how he can overcome this because he just seems like a bit of a China doll, to be perfectly honest.
That's what he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you don't quit on the guy just yet.
No, of course
not. As far as using him as a reason for optimism for the future, don't do it.
No, I always thought that he was mildly overrated too, but his flashes of brilliance are absolutely brilliant. Yeah. But as far as relying on a guy for 50 matches goes across multiple competitions, he's not the guy that you can do that with.
He's perfect. He's the new Abu Dhabi is. Abu Dhabi leaves. In comes Wilshere to assume that mantle. Oxlade-Chamberlain, another injured player all the time, but you can show him what he can do. Played very well last week in the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Theo Walcott still there. We thought he might leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think we haven't mentioned Mesut Ozil yet. Is he the most important player in this team?
I don't think he is.
Not with Sanchez around.
No.
Yeah. But this season, I mean, if he can regain his top form. He looked pretty good down the stretch.
He did.
If he can regain his top form, complementing that with the Alexis Sanchez, I mean, man, this team's going to totally contend for a title this season.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. It's just whether it'll be enough to get them over the hump, especially against a Chelsea side that looks pretty, you know, stacked and has as much depth as they did last year.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I really thought that if Arsenal had signed Arturo Vidal, that's where I would put them in the champions category in my predictions. That's what they needed. I like the addition of Cech. I also just like the squad and how the squad evolved, I think, to the end of the season and winning the FA Cup in the fashion that they did. I think that they've got a ton of confidence. You can tell by the camaraderie on the preseason tours and that with the boys. The camp actually seems good, albeit you can take your shots at their endless selfies and ab pics, but at least they seem like a unit to start a season. And we often question, that room, right? So,
abs, units. Got in a familiar path here, aren't we, right now? You mentioned, though, Vidal, and I agree, he would have been a perfect signing.
It would have been amazing.
Them,
but, they should have done everything possible to get him.
But Francis Coquelin is a guy very much in that mold, and he was great last year.
He was.
Since getting recalled to the team, no player had more interceptions than Coquelin. I think he's a real deal, and he has real steel to that midfield, which obviously has been missing for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's. I wonder if it'll come back to Bernd Wenger, because I think the sticking point, it was loosely reported, but you can tell by Wenger's previous decision-making, I think it was the drink driving incident that was the put-off. I thought, we're not just buying the player, we're buying the person here, and he's had this string of issues, and he's been brilliant for Juve and brilliant for his country, but there's something about just consistency throughout and judging him as a man that Wenger thought, this is not the guy I want on my team.
Maybe.
Now he's at Bayern for $90,000 a week.
And again, though, I mean, Wenger might use that as the excuse, but it also saves Wenger from spending lots of money. Mm-hmm. And again, this offseason, albeit with a month left, and about the same time last year, he'd been pretty quiet as well. Then boom. He's been, I wouldn't say cheap. I'll say it. He's been cheap. He thinks he has what he needs. And I respect that. In the past, I haven't agreed with him.
Yep.
And I think a few people have, and we've been proven right. I think this year he could be right. But at the same time, if they struggle out the gate here, a lot of fingers pointing at Arsene Wenger, once again, refusing to spend this war chest. But we've got a month left. You mentioned Chelsea there, J-Mo, and you look at their transfer dealings, obviously losing Cech. Drogba leaves for MLS glory. Hasn't played yet. Felipe Luis leaves as well. So much for that signing. Mm. In comes Asmir Begovic as Courtois' number two. Chasing the money. That's as simple. That's all it is. And it's a real shame from a football fan standpoint not to see this guy between the sticks every week. Radamel Falcao comes in. Now, I've got to ask B about this quickly because he's got a man crush on Falcao. Has done for a long time.
Yeah.
It was wavering last season a little bit.
I
called it, I think, a reclamation project for Jose Mourinho. Has history with Costa, Atletico Madrid, of course. Can he refine his form? Has he got to for Chelsea to repeat?
Well, it also, I think, has a personal relationship with Falcao that few managers have never coached a player do. They have the same agent. They're, I think, regularly at galas and certain parties and that.
Who's their agent?
Super Portuguese guy.
Another man crush would be.
Not a man. It's more fear, Jorge Mendes. It's just, if my phone ever rang and Jorge Mendes was on the voicemail, I don't know what I would do.
What's his name?
Jorge Mendes.
You say it very nice.
I'd be terrified. I really thought that Copa America was going to be that reclamation project, to use your term, for Falcao. Mm-hmm. And I could not believe the shell of the player that
saw you were there
in person against Brazil. Just making poor decisions, heavy touches, bad with the ball, bad in open space. And then Peckerman pulled him out after an hour. And then the second match, I think it was halftime, or maybe he played an hour again, and then he didn't start him in the third match. And that was they ended up a scoreless draw against Peru, and they needed the other result to go in their favor. So they needed to come out and get 3 points, and they didn't feature Falcao. I couldn't believe it. The crowd was going, and the crowd had given up. All they wanted was Jackson. They praised Jackson. That's all they wanted. Still didn't get a goal. So I don't know what he's got left in the tank. Maybe cutting of the hair is going to be the...
It could be a big, big change for him, I think.
I don't know.
It could change everything, actually.
This kind of reminds me of when Torres moved from Liverpool to Chelsea. You know, that they were... they were kind of getting a player on the slight decline, and the change in scenery, he just wasn't able to live up to his past sort of glories. And I don't know. I mean, when you look at what he did or didn't do at United last year, now he's going to another big club where the pressure is really going to be on. He's coming off that terrible Copa America. I'm not sure that he can fulfill that reclamation project, as you say.
But he's still considered the number two there, right? He's filling the Drogba role from last year. Do you have faith in Costa to play a full season, though? Because those hamstrings have been a problem for a while now.
No, I don't. I think he's just the combustible way that he plays, right? I think he's prone to injury. So
he's only 26.
I know.
If you believe that.
I know. But he's an old 26, though.
Don't judge the lines in his face. Yeah. Considerably older looking man.
But no, I don't think he can go the entire season. Not at all.
Now, we may talk about the squad size and that. And last year, you know, Chelsea, they were the best team. They played such great football before Christmas, and then they just shut it down, it seemed. And well, after that Spurs debacle and lost 5-3. And then they just went back to typical pragmatic Chelsea grinding results. It was awful to watch. It was boring, but it was successful. But in Europe, it came up very short. Pretty much the same squad as it stands right now. Right now. You can't play two goalkeepers at the same time. Now, they might well spend, and that's why it's hard to do prediction pieces and podcasts before the window closes. But, I mean, I do wonder, can they compete on both Europe and the Premier League? And if so, will it be the Champions League where Jose prioritizes? In which case, could you see them drop a few points in the Premier League this year?
Jamo, you go first.
Maybe. I mean, I do think the early exit last year from Champions League really kind of rankled. And, you know, the fact that all the focus was on Mourinho back on Chelsea and winning the Premier League title, that's out of the way now. I think if he's really wants to, I mean, he's a legend at Chelsea, but if he really wants to, you know, enter the record books as a Blues icon, then he's got to win in Europe. And I suspect that he's going to, I mean, he's never going to say this, but I suspect that he's going to prioritize Europe more than he would the Premier League. Mm-hmm.
I agree with JMO, but Jose seems to be the type of guy that he cannot handle when his team is embarrassed or they drop points on a Saturday.
That's true.
And
too.
Having to deal with the media and the scope of which it is. I don't know, there's something about, obviously the magnitude and the spotlight of the Champions League is so much bigger, but there's something about these teams when they disappoint. You look at City, you look at Chelsea, you know, United from a few years back. When they disappoint midweek, although it seems so dramatic at the time, for whatever reason, it seems as though that just it fades from the papers a bit. It goes away for a few days, and you're right back into league mode. Whereas, as we know with the Premier League, what you do on Saturday, you still got to answer for that the following Friday before that next match comes. And I feel like you can see how irritable Jose has gotten since he's come back to Chelsea. I feel like he wouldn't be able to mentally withstand that. We'd have a few more media lash outs.
He is picking fights again, isn't he? Right?
Yeah.
With Wenger
yeah.
especially. And the fact that he's doing with Wenger so early suggests to me that he does maybe fear Arsenal.
I said the same thing. Yeah. I think he actually looks at them and sees them as a threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. But the wrath of wife jabs. Those. that exchange.
Very, I don't know, juvenile.
Yeah, but that's Jose.
We all know Rafa's packing a few pounds. We all know that, right? We know when I'm Rafa's age, so will I. I am now.
You're Rafa's age already?
It. No. I feel like it sometimes, trust me.
Mm. Working with me ages you faster, I guess.
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah, well, in that case, I should have aged a lot about 2 years ago now. They only lost 3 games last year in the league, right?
Yeah.
And one of which was, I think, late in the season, didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're right. They don't lose very many games. But I'm just concerned a little bit about their squad depth. We know how great their first 11 is. And can John Terry really play every game, every minute of every game once again? They want John Stones,
yeah,
which seems like, I guess it's a good fit. He's a good young player, but they got mm-hmm. Kurt Zouma sitting there waiting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kale wasn't, I thought Kale may have regressed a bit last year. I think, you know, the fact that you got Matic playing the entire season helped.
Right.
You know, yeah. just shielding that back four. But yeah, listen, I'm not concerned about Chelsea. They're going to be in the hunt. Of course they are. I just wonder with this current squad as it is it enough to compete on all fronts, which is what Jose really wants. He's got the trouble before with Inter Milan. He wants to bring that to Chelsea. Because right now, Roberto Di Matteo owns that city.
Yeah.
maybe not.
I look at that squad and I see titles this year. Silverware of some sort,
yep.
But I don't look at them and think, yeah, treble's in the cards.
No.
You know what I mean? And it comes down to the depth and the frailties where they're vulnerable. If they have one or two big injuries or a player like John Terry can't live up to the standard that he set last year, then yeah, I don't see how they do it.
So Chelsea and Arsenal were the bread and the Man City sandwich last season. City finishing second. Overall, they've once again spent lots of money. Raheem Sterling comes in for £49 million, $100 million. Fabian Delph comes in. David Fopala from Lens. Patrick Roberts from Fulham. Enes Unal from Bursaspor. Depth players outside of Sterling and Delph, I'm assuming. But the big issues last year with City was Vincent Kompany. Bad year. And Yaya Toure didn't look happy. Had lots of passes and didn't look too bad in the stats department, but overall wasn't anywhere close to the vintage Yaya Toure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy that the guys coming in will improve this team? Are you concerned that those issues from last year will continue? Are Man City going to rise up and contend, or are they going to drop?
Well, I think Sterling is a big addition, and I think provided he keeps his head on straight, then he's going to really sort of bolster a strong attacking side. That was one of the best attacking sides last year, but they haven't really addressed the back. I think Vincent Kompany is not the player he once was, and they haven't really brought in any defensive reinforcements to bolster that back line. So I'm curious that they would bring in guys like Benteke and Sterling.
I mean, Sterling, which
they're great signings, but they didn't address sort of the key area for them. So I'm curious to see what exactly the thinking there was.
There's a confidence, and a bit of an arrogance or overconfidence, you can argue, with teams like that who think that they can just outscore their opposition all the time. And the golf in class, albeit question marks with a back line that we've seen feature Kompany, who's a shadow of himself, and Di Michaelis, who has no business being in the Premier League, in my opinion. Yet they've still been within reach. But I don't think that they are going to destroy teams 4-3 and 5-3 every Saturday and expect to come away with the points. I think that they really slipped up in this offseason by not addressing that. Even just bringing in a serviceable center back who's someone's heard of before from a league that's, not east of Poland.
There aren't that many, class center backs available,
True.
I mean, United still want Ramos, right? That's, who knows if that'll happen or not. But there aren't that many. We're this kind of dearth of quality center backs in this era.
Why do you think that is?
It's a good question.
Just cyclical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost Barcelona showing that this is the era of goal scoring and attacking creative players, and maybe you look for those first, and I don't know. So it'll change. You're right. It's cyclical. Mm-hmm. It'll change. They'll come back. Do you think Sterling's going to slip into that starting spot?
I think
straight
he will.
Away.
Oh yeah.
You do. Eh?
I don't know if he'll keep it, but I think that he will. I don't think that they would have, regardless of the price they paid for him. I don't think that they would have acquired him without the intention of.
No, that's
him
a plan.
Start.
Of course, that's a plan.
Yeah.
But right now.
Yeah.
Looking at the depth of that team, pushing forward.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Dzeko's now gone to Roma. But, you think that there'll be no problems about him starting week in and week out in that team?
Yeah, I think they wouldn't have spent what they did, or they wouldn't went after him with such a push if they didn't think that he could or that he would. So I think that's exactly what the intention is.
So this is a for now signing, not a, future?
No, I think it's both. I think it's for both. I think it's someone he's what, 19, 20? So it's not, it's someone for the long term, but it's also someone that they think that can immediately come in to this team and make an impact.
Is he playing on the right then, or is he playing behind Aguero?
Well, that's an interesting
situation.
One.
I mean, Boney could be an X-Factor. Where does he slip in now?
He is the X-Factor. For me, he's like a new signing, Boney, because you can kind of see how it places. I think what they would love to see, and maybe, that this would take a bit of luck or who knows what the chemistry is like in training, but if Sterling and Aguero could develop a partnership like Coutinho Sturridge or back when Liverpool were contending near the top, you might remember. I don't know
that one year.
Just the way with the three of them, the way that the ball moved. If they could insert Sterling into that type of situation and get that production in play between him and Aguero, and I think that you could, then you might see. This team untouchable if they can sustain that, because I think they bet goals for fun, that pairing.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, listen, I don't have many concerns that he won't make the grade and will get in there, right? But I think last year, right, Milner played a lot on that right-hand side, right, in that 4-2-3-1. James Milner, right? James Milner, who I like a lot as a professional, but a very different player to Raheem Sterling. Navas didn't play that much last year.
That was
right?
Shocking.
Silva played more on the left. Lampard played a number of games in the middle, in the hole there. So there's obviously a spot for him. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, £50 million, right? It's a lot for a guy to handle. We see players struggle with that over their heads now. Sterling's a pretty confident fellow. We know that. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how it'll work out. I'm more concerned about where Delph's going to fit in there.
There's no reason he should have gone there.
Yeah, I don't imagine what you're bitter about that.
I don't see him fitting in there at all. Is he really going to take the minutes away or take a spot away from Fernando or Fernandinho or whatever other Fernando name that they've brought into the squad?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very good player, Delph. Don't get me wrong, but and he might feature in some meaningless Champions League group games, which he wouldn't have had the opportunity to for Villa. But I don't see him being a big contributing factor to that team. Do you?
Yeah, barring injury, I think he's just a depth signing. Mm-hmm. I think he'll get some minutes and probably start in the FA Cup, but I can't suspect he's going to displace anyone in that starting lineup.
So out of these two players, these two young English players, Delph's the one that will be the typical City signing.
Yeah,
sitting on the bench, he'll be the new Scott Sinclair.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Not Sterling.
Jack Rodwell. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. No, I don't think Sterling was ever going to be that. The price tag was for the future. Yes. The move now was to win with the team that they have now because they think they could get something out of him.
Right. Now, their huge rivals, Manchester United, pretty interesting offseason for them. $200 million and counting.
Mm.
LVG says there's another big player coming at some point. Who knows who that's going to be? Pedro, Gareth Bale, I don't know, Sergio Ramos. Now, you mentioned before, Jamo, how goalkeepers can steal points, and I think it was 12 points he won with incredible late saves last season. So he's leaving. I think we can agree he's leaving. Romero's been signed. Valdez is there. To me, that's a bit of a weakness between the pipes. But given who they've signed ahead of those guys, Schweinsteiger, Schneiderlin, Darmian, I like him a lot, mm-hmm. and Memphis Depay, I can't see any team being more improved this year than Manchester United. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say, although I would still would have liked, I mean, if I'm a United fan, I still would have liked them to have seen them strengthen the center back position because I still think they're a little bit soft.
Maybe there. It is going to be Sergio Ramos.
Could be. Yeah, maybe. And there's, like you said, there's still some time in the transfer window, right? So they could make some moves to strengthen the back. But Memphis Depay is a wonderful player. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bastian Schweinsteiger, even if he's, what, I think 31, I would still class him as a world-class midfielder. And I think Wayne Rooney is certainly going to benefit from playing with Bastian Schweinsteiger and Morgan Schneiderlin. I think that's...
Well, just because it means that Rooney won't play in central midfield so often.
Right.
Well, that too.
he's the man up front, isn't he, Rooney, yep. It seems? He's the man.
And I think they're so naive to think they're going to get anywhere near the production levels that they got from him in 2009 and 2010. Like 6 years ago is a long time.
Big question.
For a person who relies on their touch and pace as much as he does. I mean, Rooney's still a top-class player, but I just don't feel comfortable in backing a team that has now reinserted him to be the number one front man to contend for the title. I just don't see it. And I also, I know you love the Schneiderlin acquisition, and I think that he'll fit very well into that squad. But and Schweinsteiger, albeit still, I think, a great player with a lot left in the tank, there's just something about Pep Guardiola deciding time to let him go. It just reminds me of like Wenger letting Henri go, where, yeah, he contributed to Barca. He got them to a Champions League final or helped contribute to get them to a Champions League final, but he really wasn't that impact player that they really hoped that they had acquired.
But they got Vidal, right? And that made it probably easier to ditch Schweinsteiger.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And listen, I agree with you, though. I mean, he isn't the same player that he was in his prime, and injuries are the main reason, but he still plays in all the huge games and plays very well in those huge games. He's a big game player. He's a leader. He's a winner, and he'll bring a lot to that team. But I think the concern still is, I think you're right, it is in many ways Wayne Rooney, and not whether he'll put the effort in and whether he's still a good player. Of course he is, but is he prolific? Every top team needs a prolific goal scorer, I think. Mm. And they might still acquire one. I think today they got £45 million for Angel Di Maria, right? Mm. Who's left for...
He's left as 75% PSG. Of the player he was when they got him.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he bounces back. That's a weird one, isn't it?
He will. Leave any doubt?
No, and I mean, he's still young enough. He'll be just fine.
Obviously, transfer value the marketplace and a player's transfer value doesn't really, I think, quantify what they offer as a player. But it's just something to be said. The last year that they spent $60 million, a British record, and it seemed as though he was the perfect fit there. And what a disaster it was.
There's reasons for that. I mean, listen, Van Gaal messed with his system so often last year, especially the beginning. He couldn't really find his foothold. In a brand new league as well, a new team, not playing his preferred position. Then his house was almost burgled while his wife and kid were there, which freaked them out. They moved to a hotel. They wouldn't go back to the house. They're so terrified. And then, you know what? This guy is a human being. That has an effect. And whether you want to stay at a club or not is an enormous factor, I think. That was awful for him to experience. So there's a number of factors which I think suggest that a fresh start in Paris is going to be just perfect for him. Watch out for PSG this year in the Champions League.
It's a pretty crowded midfield when you think about it now, too, because it's Fellaini,
Carrick,
Herrera.
Is Carrick a bench player now?
It's Carrick. It's Mata. It's who else am I missing? Schneiderlin.
Fellaini.
It's Schweinsteiger. So.
Oh, yeah, but they left. They lost Tom Cleverley. So.
Oh no.
What will they do?
It's been gone a while now.
I am actually disappointed that Villa didn't pick him up. But
are you ready?
Because I think he brought, you know, a level that they needed, a higher level of skill. And
he's going to Everton now. It's a good pickup for them.
I think it's a great pickup. Yeah,
he's got some ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So United. I mean, anyone pick United to win? I'm trying to look at predictions here. You did.
Oh, you did.
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now is that because of their improvements or because the other teams have, in your opinion, taken steps back?
A little bit of both. I mean, I think it's because I don't think Chelsea and Manchester City have strengthened quite the way I thought, and Arsenal too. I mean, aside from Czech, they haven't really.
Don't need
it.
To.
That's true, but. But, I mean, I just look at Schneiderlin, I look at Schweinsteiger, I look at Darmian, I look at Memphis Depay. Those are all quality signings. So I really think, you know, Van Gaal is going to bring it all together and really bring it home this year.
Memphis is my player to watch this season. Yeah. I think he can be outstanding. You know, I mean, I know that all the comparisons to Ronaldo, which are unfair, but you look at when Ronaldo moved over, he was younger, I know, but not much younger. Very similar attributes to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar attributes. I think it's... a really interesting signing, and will be. And you know, LVG loves this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll see. I think United are going to have a real role to play in the title this season, and I think they could win it. But I still have my Arsenal. I have Arsenal. I have Arsenal winning it. Not my Arsenal.
No, it's okay.
I have Arsenal winning it.
That's don't worry. When JMO posts this on Sportsnet.ca and the headline reads, you know, Charmin colon Depay is the new Ronaldo. That's what we're going to run with from that sentence, that paragraph there.
Got some tweets here. Mike Iaconi, why are so many people writing off Man City? I think we've been through that now.
Mm-hmm. Mike's also part of the Toronto Supporters Club, Man City Toronto Supporters Club. So
is he?
He probably looks at the out the window with the. Some biased glass.
We'll write them off at your peril, though. I'll say that. It is still City, right? Yeah. And they're going to spend money. I'm sure they're going to spend money, more money, before the window closes. Stephen Rowe, has Liverpool's extensive business been enough to ensure a top four spot? Have they done the right kind of business needed?
Yeah, we haven't spoken of Liverpool
no,
yet.
No, I'm using this as a segue to get to them.
Very good. Mm. You professional, you.
I know.
I like the acquisition of Milner. I don't think that it's like when they got Joe Cole. And hoped, you know, that he would be able to match the levels of greatness that he had in years previous. I think that Milner will contribute more than that, but I do think not enough for them to contend for the title, and certainly not enough for me to be comfortable in putting them in as a lock for a top four spot.
You're just bitter because they swiped Christian Benteke.
But I expected Benteke to go, and of all the teams, to be honest, if he can help Liverpool. I guess I can, you know, I can sympathize with that. I've got enough friends in the circle that would enjoy and deserve a few smiles, I'd say, during the season.
Not to mention, the Reds got screwed over by a young player when Raheem Sterling left, and they can't really complain too much because they go and swoop in and get Christian Benteke.
But do you think he's going to score both those goals?
That is the question. Well, his career record is, what, one goal every two games, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's prolific when he scores. He's a great player, but he's a very direct, physical player, right? And he sits centrally, whereas Liverpool, through the last 4 or 5 years, haven't been crossing the ball at all, haven't used a target man. Now, maybe Rodgers will just adapt his style for this. Maybe this really helps the midfielders, the Coutinhos, the Firminos, a guy that can hold the ball up through the middle. You know, you're going to be seeing a lot of diagonal balls in the back or through the middle and holding the ball up, and then these speedy wingers belting onto the ball. I don't know. We're going to find out. But on paper, it looks a little bit odd, doesn't it? But I just think he's got class. He'll score goals. Whether he'll benefit Brendan Rodgers or benefit Jurgen Klopp is a question, really. You know, he's one of those guys. Gavin Holford asks, how many games do FSG give Brendan Rodgers before the sack? Mm. He's on the short leash, I think, this year.
Yeah, probably. I think so, especially after, I mean, that 6-1 loss to Stoke.
It's
on the final day.
They can
season.
Rectify that on Sunday with the rematch.
That's true. But I think that left a bitter taste, and I think you're quite right. He's on a pretty short leash. For me, I mean, Benteke aside, what the interesting question for Liverpool is can Coutinho kind of duplicate what he did last year? Because I thought he was one of Liverpool's best players, if not their best player. And can Lovren really step up? Because I thought he was a massive disappointment last year.
Mm-hmm.
If he can sort of step up and solidify that defense, then that's what needs to be done for them to be a top four. I'm not sure they are a top four, to be honest, even with Benteke coming in.
You don't think Skrtel and Saka would be the preferred partnership?
I wouldn't think so.
I actually quite like Saka. I think when he played late in the season, played pretty well, but he is, actually there's reports he wants out as well, so who knows, right? But his form's been sporadic, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Since getting there. And I like Skrtel, he got re-signed. He's a hard-nosed Premier League defender. You know what you get with him. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Lovren, I mean, £20 million. You've got to step up at some point. Firmino comes in from Hoffenheim.
Mm-hmm.
Fun player, good to watch. We'll see how he adapts to new league. Nathaniel Clyne at right back is an improvement to Glenn Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And Manquillo, who was left, his loan was cancelled there. But I think you're right with the Rodgers. I think, especially with Klopp sitting there in the wings, waiting for his next opportunity. And I'm not just saying this as a fanboy, but he said last year, listen, he can't see himself going to one of the marquee glamour clubs, you know,
right.
the Chelseas or the Man Cities or the Barcelonas. He wants a team that has real cultural significance, mm-hmm. a real fan base. And Liverpool does have that. He just seemed to fit into that environment, I think, pretty well.
I don't know. I mean, Birmingham is a very cultural city.
It is very. Wasn't maybe, it the city of culture once upon a time, actually?
Liverpool actually has a tendency to win that European award. I think they've done,
they have done it before.
I don't know the fact, but in recent years, they've certainly had it, I think, a couple more times.
What has Liverpool ever given us?
Yeah.
The Beatles?
Ah,
what geez. Since then? Nothing.
The sporty one in the Spice Girls.
Was she
from Liverpool?
Scouser.
Really?
Proud. Oh. Absolutely.
That's nothing to be.
Cilla Black, by the way. Proud Scouser, she passed away this past weekend. Legendary pop star from the 60s, face of my childhood, the TV presenter back in the 80s. Very
she's
sad.
Never rocked with Florence?
No, a little bit of a different generation there, but maybe they're on the same show at some point. It's quite possible.
Maybe.
Yeah, sad.
You asked the question, you know, how many games does Brendan Rodgers get?
Give me a number.
If they lose, well, look at their August, okay? They so, lose away to Stoke on Sunday, he's gone. then they're home to Bournemouth, then they away to Arsenal, and then home to West Ham. That's August.
Mm-hmm.
How many points do they need to take away from that, those four matches?
You can't fire a guy in August.
No,
you just can't.
Of course not. But to limit those stories in the press, how many points do they need from those four games? So they're not taking 12. They're taking 9?
7.
I would think 6 or 7.
Yeah. I think 7.
Yeah.
7 is the... Is the cutoff?
Seven Stoke go, so where is Stoke? Is it this weekend? Or I mean, sorry, yeah, is it at home or
Sunday.
Is it?
It's at Britannia. I almost call it the Pottery.
I can see that's got a draw all over it. There's one. Bournemouth, you got to beat Bournemouth. That's 4, and then you beat West Ham, who by the way crashed out of the Europa League today.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, they did. They played it perfectly. Played the kids apparently.
Danielle Henry apparently. Out. I think he started. Did he not?
Did he?
I'm
really?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
I hope he wasn't culpable. But that's Slaven Bilic. Great, great job. First job, first direction from their management and the ownership was get out of the Europa League. All right. Got bigger fish to fry right now.
Mm-hmm.
We can say that now because we're not showing them this year.
That's how it works. Wow. The context of the show just changed.
Doesn't it?
Instantly.
Yeah, no. Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Back to your usual Europa League viewing self, eh, Charms?
Yep. Actually, it was a good tournament last year. It was the year before. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. I've been kind of a loser for the Europa League as well. As in, I tend to spend many Saturdays, Thursdays watching matches that I never thought I'd watch otherwise.
Here's some predictions for you. Steve Lanson says Stoke to push for a Euro spot, Bournemouth to surprise and survive, Chelsea to repeat in a closer race, Rooney and Sturridge player of the year. Sturridge not back for who knows until he gets hurt again. I think he's out for August. And then he'll put in 3 or 4 games, and then he'll do his heel again. Then a groin will be the second injury. Maybe a hammy thrown in for good luck. He'll score 12 goals.
Mm.
But, well, there's some bold predictions. Stoke pushing for a Euro spot, but I like what Mark Hughes has done with this team.
So do I.
I really do. I mean, they lose Begovic. That is a big loss because he was great for them the last few years. But 9th last year, that's up there. Their record's finished, actually, overall. Glenn Johnson comes in.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Boyan last year, you know, before getting injured.
It didn't look too bad.
Yeah,
there was the couple of the Barcelona loan projects that he brought in. Like Mark Hughes wants them to be a flair team. This is not Tony Pulis's Potters.
That's not a flair team. Just not a Tony Pulis team. That's not called Stoke flair just yet.
Okay.
You think they're a flair team? Or will be a flair team?
I look at the moves that he makes and I think that he thinks of it that way.
They still got Peter Crouch.
Oh, he inherited Peter Crouch.
Regardless.
Isn't his signing.
I love Peter Crouch, but any team that has Peter Crouch cannot be considered a flair team, surely.
There's a great picture of Danielle Henry running with some, I'm assuming, goal scorer here who is not mentioned and not recognizable. They're smiling, and the report is West Ham lose 2-1. But at least he got in the front of the Beeb.
Well, there you go.
Who's this guy they lost to? Astra Giurgiu?
I think it's Romanian, I think.
Huh. Astra, yeah, no, they were in last year's. There's 1 week, and Astra was playing, and Asteria was playing as well.
Oh, okay.
And I screwed up about 11 times in a three-hour broadcast.
I was really hoping that West Ham would draw Slovan Liberec just so we can have the Slaven and Slovan.
That'd be pretty fun banners, too, wouldn't it? Right? I want Kronomerets and Ludogorets too. The Merets. Lots of comments about Southampton. Can they repeat their surprise? Missing Schneiderlin, obviously. That's a big loss. Klein's gone. But they bring in Jordy Classy from Feyenoord. Mm-hmm. I like him. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Could fill that Schneiderlin role there. Won me as well for Malaga. Nice signing by Koeman. Stephen Corker. They've met, and actually, Martin Stecklenburg's gone there, as well.
That's true, yeah.
He's fallen off the map, though.
Yes, ever, right? Yeah, he's not the same.
The shadow of himself.
Yeah.
I've used that sentence too many times in the show. I've got to stop.
It's true, though. Sentence. A lot of guys.
But perhaps the biggest signing, so to speak, is Jay Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. He missed pretty much all the last season.
Did it prior to leg, that, was it?
Yeah. Horrible injury.
Yeah.
And prior to that, he was one of the top strikers in the Premier League in that breakthrough campaign. So I like Southampton, but to ask them to, you know, repeat finishing seventh, that's going to be a lot to ask, isn't
it? Very
tough. But Spurs, very quiet, unlike them so far, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see them challenging for top four, and I really wonder if Harry Kane is going to have the same type of season as he did last year.
Well, he's one to watch, isn't he?
Certainly is, yeah.
Can he follow this up with another good campaign?
It's a very tough campaign to follow because he was outstanding last year. Well, that's true. I'm just not sure that he's got enough talent around him to duplicate that again.
Some of this dead wood they've moved out, though. You know, Ceballos, Paulinho, Holtby's gone, Kapue, Kabul, all these duds. Sorry, they're all duds. They spent all that money from Bale, you know, and over the last few years, a lot of money on guys that just haven't got the job done.
I thought Holtby would be fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
I was astonished that he struggled.
He disappeared,
so much.
Isn't he? Yeah, what happened to him?
Can go back to my clutch sentence. Shadow of his former self.
How do you pronounce, by the way, Vlad, the C-H-I-R?
Kirakesh,
right? Okay, I hear it probably 11 different ways each season.
Churches.
Kirakesh, yeah? He's out as well.
Yeah.
Gone to Napoli. Again, another dud. So they've been very quiet. Kieran Trippier comes in from Burnley. He was good last year at Burnley, but it's Burnley. And Toby Alderweireld from Atletico.
Mm-hmm. Great hair. Last year. And great ink.
Yeah, good ink. Lots of ink, yeah. So, you know, maybe through elimination, they've actually improved themselves in many ways, but a lot is riding on Harry Kane. But still, top four, not going to happen.
No.
They'll put in that discussion probably with Liverpool. And whom for the Europa League spots? We've discussed Southampton. Swansea. How about Swansea?
I really I really like Swansea. I think, again, I'm bad with pronunciations.
Monk. Scary Monk.
No. Thank you, James. The Icelandic guy, the Icelandic striker.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Fabulous.
Sigurdsson, sorry.
Fabulous season last year. I think he'll duplicate that.
I'm surprised he stayed there, actually.
I am too. And I think Monk did a really good job of just sort of stabilizing that team and really kind of built them into a cohesive unit. So I think they can definitely challenge for Europa again.
Signed Eder from Braga. Is that the crap Eder from Portugal?
That's the crap Eder. The legendary, giant, Portuguese, awful front.
Shocking player.
Or the World Cup. It was Manaus. It was that game of Manaus we watched in the control
room. That's right. We were laughing at bad he was.
I was punched my so arm chances, the wall.
Didn't he? Yeah.
Boy, that's like me at every charity tournament we play in.
He's got good hair though, right?
I guess so.
And they lost Boney.
They did.
Right? So they've addressed the hair needs. Andre Ayew comes. It's interesting from Marseille.
Yeah.
That's an interesting sign.
And Jordan went to Villa.
Yeah, he's the lesser of the two Ayew brothers.
Odd.
You know, it was an interesting signing. I don't know. Were you at all surprised that Crystal Palace got Johan Cabaye?
Oh, shocked.
Well, it was Pardew, right?
Pardew the biggest surprise.
It might be the signing of the offseason.
I think that's great for the Eagles. That's fabulous. I mean, to think that he was, you know, last year he was, for a certain time, he was sort of that it guy. Went to PSG and you thought, okay, this is where his career is really going to take off. And it didn't pan out there. Okay, he's coming back to the EPL. I thought maybe Arsenal or whatever. Right, Crystal Palace?
I know.
Really?
So what happened there? Because, you know, when you go from Newcastle to PSG in the midst of a Champions League campaign as well,
right.
You know, a guy that's very touted to a super club, then over the course of 6 months, you're then going to Crystal Palace? he wasn't that bad for PSG. He didn't play that much, but he wasn't a disaster.
No, but I think it's like Brandon said, I think it's just that Pardew connection that was kind of like what led him to come back, right? Because he's had his greatest success under him. So I think that was to a large extent, that's what it was.
So Pardew will basically either succeed with Johan Cabaye, or he'll flog him for a lot of money and a big profit in January and appease himself to the ownership there as well. I think Palace could be a nice team to watch this year, actually.
Yeah, they certainly could be a surprise. They could be, you know, that Stoke Swansea 8th, 9th
yeah.
surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. 10th last year. Patrick Bamford on loan from Chelsea's interesting. Scored a lot of goals last year. Mm. Connor Wickham's there as well.
Yeah.
Cats, more ink than he has goals, that's yeah. for sure. Hasn't been too successful.
He never hit the heights of the UEFA. What was the tournament that we had and you did the play-by-play for, because the feeds never came through? Remember that was
Euro U21s?
Right.
Remember and that?
England lost in the
final. 3 days,
they got
we thrashed. Had no audio, and it's like, you know, Finland against Iceland and all the... Any trying to get any information on those teams.
Yeah.
And we get the lineups and they were all wrong, the wrong numbers. And like, oh, sweet Jesus. Me and KJ were having kittens, so to speak. It was a good experience in our yeah. careers as far as we had to face adversity, but my God, it was not easy. People saying, you guys don't know any of these players. Like, do you? Thinking Iceland's under 21s?
Great tournament, though. But
it was a good tournament.
That poisoned the minds of the English fans, thinking that the future was grand, because they got to the final,
yep.
and got thrashed 4-0 by Mesut Ozil and Sami Khedira in Germany.
Yep, that's right. Oh. Who's going down this year, boys?
J-Mo.
New boys, we got Watford, right? We got some Norwich action, yeah. and we got a little bit of my brain's freezing.
Bournemouth.
Yes, thank you. That's the one.
I didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah, I thought you were going to throw Villa under the bus.
No. I'm not saying they're all going down, but I'm saying they're the new boys.
Oh,
out of those, who is more likely to stay up? I'm saying Norwich, been here before, brought some experience in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Watford and Bournemouth won promotion through playing free-flowing attacking football, score many goals,
mm-hmm.
doesn't usually translate to success in the Premier League when you do that.
Yeah, I think they'll be over their head. I agree with you. I think Norwich has got the best odds.
It's hard to say. I mean, I think if any of the EPL teams are going to, or sort of the teams that were in the
current teams,
top flight last season.
Incumbents.
Yes. I would have to think it would probably either be Sunderland and or Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
Leicester there, but it's tough to worry.
Leicester's another one. Yeah.
I got Leicester there too. I think they are totally going to regret
with the Tinker Man in
letting
now.
Cambiasso go
yeah.
and bringing in Ranieri.
I don't think they let him go. Per se.
Well, no, you didn't secure him.
No,
you didn't force him to return.
He's out of contract right now.
You didn't.
He's not,
make
he's
not, him return.
Right.
Didn't do what you could to keep him there.
Same with Nigel Pearson,
hashtag
I suppose. You canned him, in fact. And at that end of the table, you need a manager that's going to motivate players. And I just don't see Claudio Ranieri being that guy.
No, not at all.
He's a lovely man.
Very good, lovely
Very
man.
Friendly, professional, be a great grandfather, right? Great grandfather.
I knew you were going
but,
there.
But he's not the guy that's going to, you know, rally the troops in a huge six-pointer against Sunderland in April, is he? He's just not.
He's
Nigel Pearson is.
Yeah.
But he's not.
But wait till Nigel Pearson's going to have his David Moyes moment, you know. Celta Vigo is going to pick up the phone, or Elche, and that's where we're going to watch Nigel Pearson choking out referees on a Sunday at a 6 p.m. kickoff.
I think he's the next guy that's going to have some kind of really questionable tweet or text exposed.
Nigel Pearson?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to be this year's Mocky Mackay.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. Something awful. He's going to text to his mate who gets out there somehow.
Do you not think Villa is going to struggle?
Oh, absolutely.
To score?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a disaster. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where the goals are going to come from. I don't know enough about their French signings. I really worry for them. Mm. I also think that they were a bit silly to let some pieces leave too, like Sissoko and I mean, Vlaar is such a China doll. But the fact that he's out of contract, no one's come after him. That's a hole that when he was fit, and albeit that wasn't very often, he's left a massive hole there because he was a huge contributor.
As early as January, he was being linked with Manchester United. And now he's can't find a club.
Right.
Right. So yeah. What's happened there? It's just the fact that he's injured, right?
He's just so frail. He's just, he can't stay on the pitch and in training for more than
So the perfect replacement, Micah Richards. Right? Like for like.
I think Micah Richards has a lot to prove. But having said that, I also thought it was a coup for Fiorentina last year to get him. And I don't know if he really impressed down there.
He didn't impress.
Albeit Serie A, different game, different pace, different skill set needed that he had to wrap his head around and adjust to, having not played in 7 years. So I think, he was on that England team, Micah Richards.
Oh, yeah.
Micah or Micah?
Micah, I think it's Micah.
Micah, yeah.
Yes. Micah is the Scandinavian singer.
Or the, okay. Mika Hakkinen.
Seriously, I like Mika's pretty good, actually. So, yeah. Actually, that's not true.
I can't talk
his
music.
His first album was great. His second one was awful.
So is it spelled like Mika Hakkinen?
Actually, it's not. No. Yes, M-I-K-A.
Okay.
Yes, Mika Hakkinen, right?
Yeah.
Same spelling?
Yeah.
Yes, M-I-K-A. It's kind of fun, like dancey kind of music, actually. First album's fun. It's great.
Okay.
And then it goes downhill rapidly from there.
So just to sum this all up, Mika Hakkinen is a pop singer now. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
That's who I'm looking up?
Mr. Personality in the
on
pits.
On the iTunes?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
His career's in the pits or something. Micah Richards is also maybe in the pits. We'll see. Injuries have been his big issue. Scott Sinclair comes in.
Yeah.
Bit of upside there. Is he married to Helen Flanagan?
What?
Helen Flanagan.
I heard what you said.
Google her.
Okay.
Ex-Coronation Street actress.
Oh, okay.
Now she's famous for being famous.
Yeah.
Model.
Yeah.
Walks around in bikinis pretty much 300 days a year.
Sounds like a footballer's wife.
And I know they were living together.
Oh, wow.
They might be married now. If I was Scott Sinclair, I wouldn't be caring about my football either.
Yeah.
Far more important things to be taken care of.
I didn't realize that you read The Mirror as much as you do.
I don't, but I Man
like
in the
it.
Mirror.
Remember that
Man in the Mirror segment? An old radio show we had many years ago. That was fun, wasn't it?
We used to play Michael Jackson's famous song, and Charmin used to read stories out of the newspaper. Great.
Outstanding.
That sounds like great programming.
It was. It would kill off about 15 minutes of any show, which is what we need right now. Anyway, I think it's not a bad signing. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think Villa's in trouble. Delph is a huge loss, obviously. And Benteke, 31 goals last year, and you lose your top goal scorer. Not ideal. Although maybe it's going to be Rudy Gested's time to shine.
I think that's a good pickup, and I do think that they're going to get Adebayor.
He's there already, right? You know, he's still there. Adebayor. So I'm thinking Agbonlahor.
Oh yeah, no, Adebayor.
Yeah, well, he's got the connection with
It looked Sherwood, as though that deal was done.
Can't rely on him. You know, you can't rely on him.
Then you know what?
It'll break your heart.
Listen to me. Pick up the phone and call Balotelli, okay? Bring him to Birmingham.
Yeah, because that'll work.
If there's any man out there that can get the best out of him, it's Timmy Sherwood.
Imagine Balo patrolling the streets of Birmingham at night. Yeah. Watch out.
There's a new headline for the podcast post. I think.
What?
What I just said about.
It's a long headline, isn't
Timmy
it?
Timmy and Balo.
It's probably too long.
I've only got like 50 characters I can work with.
Yeah. Listen, we're out of time. We could have gone
already?
Forever. Yeah, we've been like almost an hour.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Time flew.
Thank you for still listening.
Brian Calhoun in the behind the glass there is getting very angry with us right now, I'm sure. And bored. Pretty bored. It's been a pretty boring podcast. All right, we're out of time. So he's just woken up. What? Who won? Why? What's going on? All right, listen, that was the first podcast. Now, as it's going to work this season, once you get rolling, Mondays used to be me and J-Mo. This year will be myself, Dunlop, and Dobby. Thursdays will be myself and J-Mo and a variety of guests. However, to start the season, starting this Monday, it'll be me, Dunlop.
Yeah.
No, because I'm going to
And
be
not
you.
J-Mo.
No.
So me and you.
On Monday.
Maybe we'll get a surprise guest in, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe I'll work that.
So okay. Mondays, just to be clear, for people out there who didn't get all that, Mondays you guys are going to be recapping the EPL weekend.
Oh, no. You know, it's the worst podcast of the two.
And then basically we're just flip-flopping what we did last year.
If I just said that, it would be much easier.
There you go. But
you're so convoluted. You know, you didn't grow up in a 140-character world.
No, I didn't. All right, hope you enjoyed that. As I usually sign off when Dunlop's here, my sincerest regrets and apologies.